For Center, thank you so much for listening tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about life, pro-life issues, pro-choice issues, and everything that goes around with that. So we're going to talk about a number of things to do with Hope Resource Center and upcoming events that are going on at Hope Resource Center, and that's where I want to start. So hopefully everyone's gotten back into the swing of school, and you're getting your kids into school and taking care of that, and they're being on time. And you know, I have this conversation with my wife. If Gavin is not to kindergarten on time and he's tardy, well, whose fault is that? That's not Gavin's. That is his parents. And so every morning I'm getting up and making sure that he can get to school on time. So instilling that into his head. So tonight, though, what I want to do is look at some events that are coming up for Hope Resource Center. And the only reason I want to talk about that is because that is how we fund the work that we do at Hope Resource Center. So we provide free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds, free STD testing and treatment. We have parenting classes, material assistance, mentoring, all kinds of stuff going on at Hope Resource Center, and we do not charge a dime to our patients. So everything that we do at Hope Resource Center is free of charge to the patient, which means every time a patient comes in reality, we lose money. So in order to continue that work, we have to raise dollars from the community and local churches and businesses and individuals. And that is what we do periodically throughout the year. So again, our mission is not fundraising. Our mission is not asking for money. It is simply a vehicle that the Lord uses to serve this community. So that is why we do what we do at Hope Resource Center. And so coming up, the next event coming up, the first one is Battle of the Bottles. I've been visiting with, if you follow us on Facebook, you can find us at Investing Hope. At Investing Hope on Facebook, and I've been visiting with CAK, Christian Academy in Knoxville. I'm going to be at Grace on Thursday to talk about the Battle of the Bottles. What the Battle of the Bottles is two schools, one mission. So we have Grace and CAK. They're big rivals in football. They play a football game against each other August 26th, and so from now until then, they're going to be raising money and filling baby bottles with change and dollars and checks and everything so that we can raise money. Last year, we raised almost $25,000. Since doing this Battle of the Bottles, we have raised over $100,000 through these schools, and that's K-12 at CAK and Grace. We have seen that expand, and now we have a Battle of the Bottles with Temple and FBA in Powell, and they do that around a basketball game. And so we raised over $10,000 with them last year for their first time. And so I'm hoping to continue to expand that. So if you are if your child goes to a Christian school somewhere in Knox County, reach out to me, Andrew at KnoxvilleHope.com. Reach out to me so I can contact those schools, and we can have Battle the Bottles all across the county at these Christian schools. We can talk to these students about standing for life at an early age. We can get them in the mindset of philanthropy and giving money and helping out organizations and helping out ministries and those type things. So we'd love to partner with you. So reach out to me, and I'd be happy to connect with someone at those schools. So I've already reached out to some, and hopefully we'll have some news in the near future about different schools that are standing with us. So again, Battle of the Bottles going on right now. The next thing that's coming up, fall is always busy. The next thing that's coming up is the golf tournament at Geddes View Polo Golf and Country Club. That is coming up on September 26th. And here's the information about that. And if you want to find this online and sign up and join us, you're welcome to. It's going to be a fun day. We have the whole course to ourselves for that time frame. And you can go to investinghope.com/events. And then you'll see the golf tournament there. So it's going to be teams of four, shotgun start, and the scramble. Start time is going to be 8:30 a.m. All players will receive a breakfast from Chick-fil-A. You'll get snacks and drinks, and then because I'll be driving around on a golf cart helping you out with that, and some of our staff will be, and then you'll get lunch, and then you'll get a player gift. We'll also have mulligan packages and different things that you can purchase there as well. So it's going to be a great time and just a fun day of golf. It will be the Monday after the UT Florida game. So hopefully we'll all be pumped and excited because we just beat Florida and we broke the streak in football. And then we're going to play some fun golf and have a good day on that Monday as we celebrate and as we stand for life. We typically have over 100 golfers, and so that's always fun. So get a team together, come and play with us. Again, that's at Gettys View Polo Golf and Country Club. It's $175 for an individual entry. It's $700 for a team of four. That's what it costs for the entry. And again, you can register online. It's September 26th, 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you can contact us at Hope. We'd be happy to answer any questions that you have for that as well. Maybe you're listening right now and you're saying, well, I'd like to sponsor a hole, or I'd like to sponsor something, and your business would like to do that. Again, reach out to me, Andrew@KnoxvilleHope.com. I'll be happy to answer those questions. So again, that's coming up. We'll also have giveaways. So we're going to have, you know, different golf items to give away as well, which is always fun. We draw out of a hat, and that's a great time. Of course, the winning team will receive something as well. So it's an amazing golf course. If you have not played at Gettys View Polo Golf and Country Club, you're missing out. So this will be a great opportunity to do that. So join us, sign up online, and then we'll see you out there. It's going to be a blast. I do not play golf. That is not my strong suit. And I understand things that I'm not good at. So I don't play, but I will be on a golf cart driving around and interacting with all the players in a respectful way, because I know people take their golf serious. I'll be driving around handing out snacks and drinks and talking with folks as we do that. So please join us as we celebrate life. And the reason that we do these events is because it is a vehicle that God uses to continue our service. All the services that we provide at Hope Resource Center roughly equal about $550,000 a year. That's a big number. And so every year we are seeking to fundraise through golf tournaments, through baby bottles, through the banquet, through year-end giving, through the summer mailing, different avenues throughout the year where we ask for money and ask for donations. And a lot of people are like, isn't that hard? Why, you know, well, we're trying our best. We don't send letters out all throughout the year. You know, we just reach out as needed. And so we appreciate so much the people in this community and the churches in this community that stand with us. I mean, there are times where I get checks from all over the country, not just here in the state of Tennessee, not just here in Knoxville. And so we certainly appreciate that. I was looking today and I was writing some thank you notes, and I do that periodically. Since joining Hope staff in May 2015, I have written 800 plus thank you notes for those that have given donations. Now, that's not everyone that's giving. We've had more than that give since I started at Hope. But just the thank you notes that have gone out, over 800. That means over 800 people plus have given to Hope since May 2015. That is amazing. And the number of people that continue to stand with us and continue to give and continue to pray and continue to celebrate life is just astounding. And so we do thank you for that. And the last thing we ever want to do is guilt people into giving. The last thing we ever want to do is to make it out like our mission is fundraising, because that is not our mission. Our mission is serving moms and dads in crisis in this community, and that is what we're doing. So we provide the care that is needed. And so that's what we're always going to do. And we're always going to provide that at no charge to the patient. And so in order to do that, we have to fundraise. And the Lord is using these vehicles in amazing ways. Right now, as I speak, we have about 13 or 14 patients at Hope right now going through parenting classes. And tonight, they're hearing from our nurse practitioner as she walks them through everything that they're going to expect in the next few months as they prepare for delivery. And so she's going to talk to them about that process and provide them the information that they need to prepare themselves for what they're about to embark on. And so we're able to do that, again, because folks like you stand with us and give, because of folks like you that pray with us, because local churches are saying, we care about life, and we want to stand for life, and we want to do everything we can to make sure that life is cherished. We want to do everything we can to make sure that abortion becomes unthinkable in a civilized society. Again, it's not just about seeing the legislation change. It's about heart transformations within our communities. And so that is what we seek to do. And so many people come out to stand with Hope Resource Center, and we are just so thankful for that. So if you want to play golf, please do that. We still have room. They're filling up fast, but we still have room. So investinghope.com/events, and you'll see the Hope Resource Center golf tournament there at Getty View Polo Golf and Country Club. It's going to be a fun day. I promise you'll enjoy it. So as we go throughout the night, what I'm going to do is we're going to talk about Life Matters, which is a prayer initiative. It's our second annual prayer initiative that we're going to have at Hope Resource Center. Again, it's not a fundraiser. This is just us coming together to pray specifically for our patients, for our staff, for abortion clinics, and for everything that's going on around the country. So here in a little bit, I'm going to touch on an article. I'm going to look at an article in the Washington Post that is about Cecile Richards, and she is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion clinic in the country. And so I want to talk about that and look at the messaging that they are providing and look at the work that they are doing and look at how abortion is being normalized in our current society. And then I want to counter that with, well, this is what we do, and this is why we do what we do at Hope Resource Center, and this is why we want to have Life Matters. This is why we want to have a prayer initiative. This is why we want to come together with local churches and businesses and individuals to pray consistently and intentionally about what is going on across this country with abortion. And so I'm going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Stay tuned. It's going to be a great show tonight, and it's going to be fun as we talk about life and celebrate life, and we talk about the author that has given us this amazing life. We'll be back in a sec.
There's got to be more than going back and forth.
And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. Right now, what I want to do is look at a Washington Post article concerning the abortion rights movement is bolder than it's been in years. And that is Cecile Richards' plan. So in the morning of one of the most important days in her career, Cecile Richards waited anxiously in her office at Planned Parenthood headquarters in Manhattan. A few minutes past 10 a.m., a message from her daughter flashed across the screen. A single word, yay. That was when I knew we'd won, Richard said, recalling the moment when she learned of the decision in the biggest abortion-related case to come before the Supreme Court in more than two decades. In a 5-3 vote, the justices had ruled that Texas's restrictions on abortion clinic placed an undue burden on women seeking to end their pregnancies. Seeing that text, the president of Planned Parenthood ran out of her office and joined her staff, gathered around television sets, clapping and crying, to revel in a moment of joy. Now listen to that sentence. The ruling from the Supreme Court said that the law passed by Texas was an undue burden on women. The law passed by Texas, all it did was say abortion clinics need to be ambulatory. Abortion clinics need to be held to tougher standards and restrictions. And so then this sentence says that when they found out that that law was struck down, Cecile Richards and others clapped and cried and reveled in joy to know that abortions would be happening more often without regulation. And the article goes further. The decision in Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt was a significant victory for abortion providers nationwide, and it came at a significant moment. 100 years after Planned Parenthood, remember that, because I'm going to talk about that here in a second. 100 years after Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger began educating women about birth control in New York, and 43 years after Roe v. Wade, the reproductive rights movement in America is at a pivotal crossroads. Facing hundreds of restrictive laws nationwide, abortion rights advocates are going on the offensive with a new strategy. So they're going on the offensive. Gone is the mantra of the past, the ideal of keeping abortion safe, legal, and rare. And if you've listened to this show since I've started, we talked about that. Safe, legal, and rare is no more. And pro-lifers need to understand that that argument is gone. We can say all we want that, well, what about safe, legal, and rare? What about, well, that is just, they don't care anymore. It's not about safe, legal, and rare. Today's activists are passionately debating the procedure and bringing it to the light. encouraging women to talk openly about their abortions and giving the movement an unapologetic human face. And they aren't stopping there. They're tweeting about it with "Shout Your Abortion." There's this thought that women are just too scattered. We're too impulsive. We are too hormonal. We can't make good decisions for ourselves. This is what Cecile Richards says. She's talking about what she thinks lies at the root of the bitter debate over abortion. Therefore, she says, we need the state to tell us. We need the state to give us medical information, even if it's incorrect, she says. We need the state to give us an ultrasound because we must not really realize that we're pregnant. We have to go away for 24 hours and think it over. And then she brings this into the conversation. She says, can you imagine if these kinds of restrictions were put on any other kind of health care in America? Folks, there's a lot of restrictions on health care in America. The problem is what we know is there are women that are going and seeking the pill for an abortion that is supposed to be given at a certain week period and not over 10 weeks. What we know is abortion clinics are giving that pill after 10 weeks. We know that. But again, if there's no regulations, if there are no restrictions, if there's no one looking into that, then what's it going to matter? And then they want to make the claim of, well, you'll have back alley abortions. Remember Kermit Gosnell? That wasn't happening in the back alley. That was happening in an office, a medical office, that was allowed to operate for 20 plus years where women died and babies died and heads were severed. So regulation in these cases is greatly needed. In person, this article says, the 59-year-old Richards exudes both a warm authenticity and a subtle impenetrability. There's the sense that she means everything she says, but she isn't saying everything. Her public persona is almost controlled. Like the savviest politician, she's supremely polished, perpetually on message, and surrounded by a highly protective media operation that carefully controls reporters' access and circles the wagons when uncomfortable situations arise, which, given her job, they frequently do. As the president of the country's largest abortion provider, she is a lightning rod for conflicting passions, polarizing. The word could have been invented for her. It's a safe bet that how you view her depends on where you stand on abortion. She's composed, heroic, they say, a righteous defender of the vulnerable, or she's cold, unfeeling, a cunning apologist for baby murders. So some believe that she's a defender of the vulnerable, yet she leads the largest abortion provider in the country that takes life of the most vulnerable, those in the womb. In a lineup of past presidents at Planned Parenthood, which is a separate political action committee, Richard stands out. Her background isn't in women's health care. It's in organizing and politics, and she has deployed her skills in those fields to win major battles for abortion rights. And then she says, or then they say in the article, lots of women are taking the leap. More than 200 share their abortion experiences in public briefs filed as part of Whole Woman's Health. Cecile said, I've never been in a courtroom where women's experiences were so prominent and so impossible to ignore. I'd love for her to sit down with some of our patients because their experiences are also prominent and impossible to ignore. Yet she ignores them. To Richard's critics, however, such praise has an ironic ring. They always talk about us, the pro-lifers, making abortion a political issue. But when you look at Planned Parenthood, everything they do is political. Everything. Now they're endorsing candidates. But this is where she's always been. Her family's commitment to activism was consuming. In his memoir, her father, prominent civil rights attorney David Richards, writes about a 1966 summer vacation that was put on hold after he was invited to join a dance for protesting farm workers. Cecile was 9, and she called that her first dance. And I don't have a problem with her looking up to that Cecile Richards would have a heart transformation. The article goes further. After graduating from Brown University, Richards began her career as a labor organizer and activist, working with garment workers, janitors, and hotel employees. When her mother ran for governor in 1990, she got into politics. In 2002, she served as deputy chief of staff to Nancy Pelosi. then the House Democratic Minority Whip. And then Cecile Richards became president of Planned Parenthood. Recently, Cecile was invited by a group to Georgetown to speak about pro-choice issues. Well, on that same day, Abby Johnson, who I've had on the show, who used to work at Planned Parenthood, was also invited to speak. And this is what Abby Johnson had to say about Cecile Richards. And I think as pro-lifers, we need to take this to heart. And we need to understand this. I think Cecile is smart. She's beautiful. She's articulate. She has been a very good face and spokesperson for Planned Parenthood and does a good job of always pivoting back to their key talking points. And then Johnson goes on further. What that tells me is that we have to be very clear with our message as well. We have to be able to articulate our message as well as they articulate theirs. That message is clearer, more out in the open than ever before. Richards delivered a speech not too long ago using the once taboo word abortion 3 times in 5 minutes on national television. There won't be any hiding from it anymore. And then they said this. There are still enormous barriers to women who need access to safe and legal abortion. Cecile ended with, we need to challenge or repeal every single restriction that's out there. Well, how do we combat that? We'll talk about that when we come back. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you for listening. Tonight, what we're doing, we started with talking about some of the vehicles that God uses to allow Hope Resource Center to do the work that we do with golf tournament and battle of the bottles and different things like that. And then I shifted gears, and we just finished looking at an article in Washington Post about Cecile Richards and how abortion is being normalized in our society. And they actually said that what she's doing is putting a human face on the issue. Now, it's interesting that they would use that wording because that's what we've been trying to do as pro-lifers since 1973, putting a human face on the issue. Why? Because there's a human involved. There's a human inside the womb. There's the face you're looking for. That's why we want ultrasounds to happen, to put a human face on this issue. That's why we have 3 ultrasound machines in our office. That's why we offer free ultrasounds. Because again, if it was completely about women's health and helping women in crisis, then these abortion clinics wouldn't charge a dime. If it was completely about making things more accessible and affordable, then why would they charge a dime? Oh, well, they charge money because they need money, right? They charge money because it's a lucrative business. When you're performing the bulk of the abortions in the country, it's a lucrative business. And so don't believe everything that you hear from them. Again, we're seeking to serve men and women. Are there some pro-life clinics across the country that do things they shouldn't do? Absolutely. And they need to be called out for it. And they need to be held to higher standards. If you're performing medical procedures, if you're performing STD testing and treatment and nurse and ultrasounds, then you better have the things in place to make sure you're doing that the right way. And go above and beyond, which is why we're accredited, which is why we've gone above and beyond, because we care deeply about those that we serve. So one alternative or one thing to combat what is happening and the normalizing of it all and the media pushing it and everything in front of our face. One way to combat that is to stand with pro-life clinics. Make sure our pro-life clinics across the country are doing everything they need to do. That's why at Hope Resource Center, we are going to a conference soon to meet with other pro-life clinics and to talk to other directors and other medical professionals because we want to be the best. We want our pro-life clinics not cutting corners, not doing shoddy work. We want them doing the good work that we've been called to do. And so that's holding each other accountable and to a set of standards. And so our goal is to match the other side. Our goal is to do everything that Planned Parenthood does that doesn't offend God. That's what we want to do. We want to serve those in this community, those that are struggling, those that are in crisis. And so we stand with pro-life clinics. The only way we combat it and the only way we see a change, and folks, we're seeing a change. This article was saying that it's becoming normalized in society. But understand, there's more young people today pro-life than ever in history. That's a big deal. That is a big deal. There's college pro-life organizations now to match the pro-choice organizations. There are people, young people, willing to stand. I went to the March for Life last year, or back in January. Tons of young people there. That was so exciting to see. That young people are seeing we need to step up. We need to stand for life. So what else can we do? Well, one thing we can do is pray. And last year, after the videos came out about Planned Parenthood, and we saw just the harvesting of baby body parts and just the atrocious discussions that we saw on those videos, I sat at my desk and I wept in my office. And I thought I got angry, and there was a lot of things that went through my mind. But finally what came out was we must fall on our knees. We can't expect a change in this issue if we're not calling out to the one that gave life to begin with. And so what we did was we had the Life Matters Prayer Initiative. And we had 35 states join us. And this year I'm hoping for more. Where we just had medical clinics and individuals and businesses and organizations come together during the week of October 16th, excuse me, to pray. And so we wanted to pray specifically and intentionally. And so we're going to do it again this year. And I'll let you know, while we were doing that last year, there were three members that I know of from an abortion clinic around this country that left an abortion clinic and went looking for other jobs because they felt convicted about the work they were doing. So folks, prayer works. We prayed specifically for abortion workers to be called out of those clinics. And I know for a fact, because I've discussed this with Abby Johnson, who's working with former abortion clinic workers. Three people walked out of an abortion clinic that same week to join, and then there were none, and seek other jobs because they needed to get out of that world. And so prayer does work. So here's what we're going to do. The cause of life and abortion will be the defining issue of my generation, the millennial generation. In the past year, we have seen a number of videos detailing the devastating truth of abortion. This devastating truth only confirms our need to stand. Now, we will stand with grace, love, and conviction. And at Hope, we're going to open our doors for those that are being attacked and preyed upon. We will offer a sanctuary for those in crisis, those that are post-abortive, and those that wish to walk away from abortion clinics around the world. This is why I believe we need to join together in prayer. Prayer for our country, for patients, for medical clinic staff, for our leaders, for our kids, for abortion clinics, and ultimately, for a transformation of hearts of people everywhere. We must lock arms and call out to the one that we know can make an impact. We must call out to the author of life, the one that is engaged and involved in our work and cause every single day. We must call out to our God as we seek guidance. Now, it is this truth that motivated the staff at Hope to act. Now, we act every day as we serve the community that God has placed us in, but we also want to act with much needed and very intentional prayer. This is why we are hosting our second annual Life Matters Prayer Initiative the week of October 10th. We seek to join with partners, medical clinics, churches, and pro-lifers everywhere. We chose this particular week because the largest abortion clinic in the country will turn 100 years old on October 16th. That's Planned Parenthood. 100 years old on October 16th. As we were preparing for Life Matters, we were prayerfully seeking out Scripture. And we were led clearly to Joshua and the fall of the walls of Jericho. The verses found in chapter 6 are absolutely amazing. Watching what God did through the work of his people in just 7 days is truly awe-inspiring. This is why Life Matters is a 7-day prayer initiative. We know that God does great work when his people are consistent, intentional, obedient, and faithful in their prayers. Our goal is not to take the city, state, or country back. Our goal is to pray fervently for 7 days and watch as God moves. Our goal is for the world to see that life matters in and out of the womb, and we must stand. Our goal is for our whispers to become shouts as we boldly proclaim the truth. And our goal is to see unity among medical clinics, partners, and churches as we seek to celebrate life and our God. I'm excited to see partners all across the world uniting in one voice for those that do not have a voice. Please join us in this work. Join us the week of October 10th as we come together in prayer. Join us as we pray specifically and intentionally for life. Life is being devalued more and more every single day. This is disheartening, but there is still much we can do to change this current trajectory. There is much to do, and it all must start with us on our knees crying out to the Father. And I pray you would join us and I look forward to partnering with you in the very important week. And here in Knoxville, what we're going to do, October 16th. So we're going to start the prayer initiative on that Monday, October 10th. And then October 16th, we're going to go to Shoreline at 6 p.m., Shoreline Church. And what are we going to do there? We're going to worship. Chuck Hooten's going to lead us in worship. Jason Hayes, the pastor, and myself, we're going to be talking about abortion and life and the importance of standing for life and why we are pro-life. And so that is what we need to do as a people. So I pray you would join us in praying. I hope you'll join us at the worship night at Shoreline. Because, folks, we can react one or two ways. And I can speak to this truthfully because I've reacted in the bad way. We can either react in righteous anger, and we can react by calling out to God to do something. Or we can react with bitterness, hatefulness, and anger and just attack, attack, attack. And so every conversation is how much we hate the abortion workers and how much we hate the people that work there. Well, that's not helpful. Do I want to see abortion clinics close across this country? You better believe it. But I'm not going to hate the people that are there. Because who did God use in the scripture? He used Paul. Who was Paul? Paul was a terrorist to Christians. And God put him on his hind end and saved him and used him to expand his kingdom. Gentiles and Jews alike. So if God can do that to Paul, a terrorist to the movement, you don't think God could grab a hold of Cecile Richards? You don't think God could grab a hold of that abortion worker? We've seen it happen. And so that week, we are going to pray that abortion clinic workers will rise up and walk out of those clinics. And when they do, they're going to be met with open arms as we see God work in amazing ways. We'll be back in a sec. So to wrap up, thank you first for listening. Stand with hope in so many different ways. You can do that by giving. You can do that by praying. You can come join us and play some golf on September 26th. If your kid goes to CAK or Grace, you can help us fill some bottles for Battle the Bottles. If your kid attends another Christian school in the community, let us know. Reach out to me, Andrew@KnoxvilleHope.com. Would love to talk to you about opportunities to do that and get our kids in a mindset of giving and standing for the most precious gift we've ever received, which is life. And so help us do that. Also, coming up, don't forget, October 10th is Life Matters Prayer Initiative. This is something that I think at times we neglect. And especially for me in the nonprofit world and in ministry, at times I find myself focusing so much on the ins and outs and the day-to-day. And focusing so much on, well, let's have this program and let's fundraise here and let's have this event and how many babies are we saving and how many ultrasounds are we doing and how many pregnancy tests are we doing? And so at times I forget I need to be praying about what's going on. Right? So no matter how many pregnancy tests we do, no matter how many ultrasounds we give, if we're not seeking God in those moments, then what's it for? And so I can get angry and I can get frustrated and I can become bitter toward abortion clinics and toward Cecile Richards. Or I can let that motivate me to do something else and motivate me to pray and motivate me to call out to God that if I believe God can save me, or Paul calls himself a chief of sinners, then he certainly can grab a hold of Cecile. He certainly can grab a hold of those working in abortion clinics. And I know that because I've seen it. And I know that prayer works because I've seen it. So there's going to be no harm in spending 7 days praying to God. And what we know in the scripture, God can do amazing things in 7 days when his people are obedient, when his people are consistent and intentional. And so that's what we're going to do October 10th through the 16th. And then we're going to cap that off with an amazing worship night. If you haven't heard, if you haven't visited Shoreline, you haven't heard of Chuck Hooten and the worship group there, the worship band there, they're amazing. Him and his wife and the rest of the band. And they have a new album out on iTunes. You should look it up. Sing Over Us is what it is. Sing Over Us, Chuck Hooten. And so we're going to be singing those songs. We're going to be praying. We're going to talk about life and the gift that God has given us. October 16th at Shoreline at 6 p.m. And so please join us out there. Last year we tried to have a worship event outside, and for whatever reason, last year, October 16th, it was freezing cold. And so everyone was freezing, and we tried our best to stay warm. We're going to have it in the building at their worship center. And so come join us October 16th as we pray for what we're doing, as we pray for this ministry, and as we pray for abortion clinic workers all across the country. That's Planned Parenthood's 100th birthday. So we need to be praying for that and praying that God would move in a mighty way through that. Thanks for listening. We'll be back here next Tuesday. As always, if you want to play golf with us, sign up. Investinghope.com/events. You can sign up to play golf with us and stand for life and have just an enjoyable day out at Gettysview. We hope to see you then. Talk to you soon.